Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell coming up. We'll talk more about what happened with the Dogs against Alabama, but it is a Falcon Monday, guys. Falcons 2-2 after defeating the Commanders 34-27. Michael Penix 20-26 for 313, two touchdowns and a pick, 126 passer rating. At one point, he had 145 passer rating in this game, and the point of that is he was just rolling. Like the when you start talking about the maximum number for passer rating in a game, he was approaching it, and he was on point. The interception, Mike, we mentioned, put a little bit more air on it. I'm sure we'll look at
big
that.
Big play if he does.
And says, hey, you know what, if I lay that out. But Bijan Robinson, guys, 17 carries for 75 yards, a touchdown, and 106 in the air. He did everything that you could expect yesterday. Did you think he was gone on that play where it looked like nobody was going to track him down? Like he's running down the sideline, that 60-yard play down the sidelines. And, you know.
He also had a play where there's basically a video of it, and there's some funny memes where there's like four Commander players around him. He's trapped. And you go, you know, he gets to the end zone on this, or he breaks this for a first down. The elusiveness we've talked about. Penix, by the way, also, there's a play that we didn't get. I want to say it was either Drake or might have been Mooney, didn't get 2 feet down, where Penix rolls to his left and puts a dime. And unfortunately, they couldn't get the reception. This guy is doing some special stuff. I'm really getting sick and tired of the crap I'm getting from some of these folks on Twitter and on the text line. Yeah, okay, we beat J.J. McCarthy, and we beat, you know, Marcus Mariota. We don't have A.J. Terrell, where we've got a third-string guy playing right tackle for us. Injuries are part of the game. Maybe we'll see Carl said this. Maybe we'll see the Commanders again. We nearly beat the Commanders last year when they had everybody. It's not an elite defense for the Commanders. It's not.
No.
By any metric. So we did what we're supposed to do. I didn't like that last score in the fourth, but hey, man, you know, they covered the spread, you won the game, and you washed, as we said, the taste out of our mouth for that horrible loss.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. We're talking about it with you guys here on the show. And as we continue to move along, we will talk more about, obviously, what's going on, not only just the Falcons, but also around the NFL. As today, kind of recapping a lot of things. The good news is this. You have to look at this team and their resiliency to say last week was a fluke. It was. And as bad as things were, you scored 14 points in the third quarter. You basically scored in every quarter of this game, by the way. But to put up 34 points and to be as effective and efficient as the offense was yesterday, here's the thing about this offense. And the pistol conversation, can we calm down? It's one formation in a complex offense. They ran and executed it well yesterday. It looked good. There are no complaints when it looks good. When it looks bad, Mike, and it looks like we're doing the same things over and over and over, and the other team's stopping us, it looks redundant. So that wasn't the case yesterday. The run game was on point. And how about Tyler Algier, man? How good was he yesterday in his moments?
Unbelievable. You got the West call, Oren? The West Drewham, Archer West. And by the way, not to blow smoke, but you know, if you've been around like Carl and I have, or like guys who travel for work, or sometimes you listen to radio, or you're watching the where's it at now? Is it Showtime? I don't even know where the NFL highlight stuff is. It used to be on HBO. But when you listen to other broadcasts, Wes and Arch is like one of the best in the country. I mean, it's so dialed in, and it's easy to listen to, and it's not some like homers where you go, oh, it's deja vu all over again, and every cliche in the book. You found it, Oren? Oh, not yet. But anyway, it's a great call, and it's so great. We're going to find it for you. You'll get to hear it in just a second of the Tyler Algier touchdown. And I can only stretch this for I give up. Anyway, Carl, but it was a wonderful call. Here it is from our radio home at the Falcons, 92.9 The Game.
Algier's coming to the ballgame. Bijan had to replace the tearaway. I'm just kidding. Washington through the formation. They give it to Algier. Uh-oh, Tyler breaking free. 10-5 shoulder. Oh, touchdown! Atlanta! Check the license plate, Jeremy Reeves. Wow. Woo. Tyler Allgeier dropped the gear down and dropped that left axle right into Jeremy Reeves. Touchdown, Atlanta.
Yeah, he ran him over. Boom! Mm. Get out of my way. I'm getting to the end zone. You just don't see guys do that a lot. Back in the day, right, Walter Payton, it was commonplace. You get in guys' way, they were going to run you over. This is what we do. We run you over. Now guys want to get out of bounds. They want to make business decisions. Not Tyler Allgeier. I'm getting to the end zone. You're not stopping me. It was a big moment
and
the Falcons.
And the balance, Carl, that we've talked about, 33 touches, 17 carries for Bijan, 16 for Tyler. Then you throw in those four for 106. That's the kind of balance. You know, we always go back to how Shanahan, you mentioned, he came up in conversation today, you know, talking about how we used to have to figure out how are we going to get Coleman involved? You know, what's it going to be? Is Freeman going to be the guy? That was a perfect execution. And again, maybe Zach, here's the thing moving forward. Is this now we're going to be a clicking offense because Zach streamlined it? He's down there in the mix on the sideline.
Yeah, look, I just feel like even if he called a good game a week ago, we wouldn't have known it because we just played like crap. He could have called a very similar game last week, Mike, and you had turnovers and sacks and interceptions and pick sixes, and we just didn't do it. So I don't know what to exactly believe about where the offense is, but I need consistency. And coming out of the bye, that's going to be the key. Jesse Bates talked about it yesterday, saying, we got to keep this energy up, man. Drake talked about it. We got to keep this energy up. It's hard because this is your week to go. Like, hey, go rest. Go get yourself right. They'll report back early next week and get to work. But I think that's going to be the key to playing Buffalo. All right, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got to talk some dogs. So Eddie says to us, Kirby's 1-7 against Bama because they out-recruit him. Then he says they had 2 weeks to prepare, and then they go out and get out-schemed Saturday night. Now that, I might agree with you on, because they had to adjust to what this offense was presenting to them. The whole out-recruiting, you might want to go look at that. Georgia, technically, year in and year out is 1-2, 1-2, or 3. That has nothing to do with this. Their players, there was a time where you could say Alabama had better players, that time's gone. It's not that way anymore. So I don't believe in that. But if you told me he had 2 weeks, because they both had an off week, Alabama did as well, and how they came in to attack Georgia's defense and Georgia and what they schemed to do against Bama's offense, that I can agree with you on. And I do think that was the issue in this game, Mike, especially on third down.
Look, they just had a better plan. I mean, we talked about it. It just seemed like, if you're watching this, it just felt like Schumann was always one step behind. Georgia couldn't tackle. That's not, you can't put that on Schumann. They missed a ton of tackles. There was tremendous, you know, yards after, I mean, both on receivers and just running backs. Initial contact and just keeping the pile moving. You know, we talked about the imagination, using your one of your, you know, linemen as a pass catcher. And then there were the screw-ups. I mean, I said, where was Noah Thomas? Where is he? You know, Taylen Taylor, I know that he's just a freshman. Got to catch that football. I mean, I get it. Bama had their own drop. And I mean, going back and watching that game is kind of like inexplicable, you know, to see some of the things happen because you got one of the best, you know, receivers in the country. And Ryan Williams can't make that catch. But it just the moments that were there that Georgia left on the field. Taylor catches that pass. It's a completely different. Carl, it's got Alabama on their heels.
Yep.
Because that's when Georgia was getting some stops. Remember, Alabama doesn't score any points in the second half.
It's crazy to think, too, how effective they were in the first half. And then in the second half, you say what happened. Adjustments. Georgia made the plays to get off the field a lot better than they did in the first half. But more importantly, I still think the time of possession played a big role in this game because Bama still was able to sustain some drives even though they weren't scoring points.
Right. Burn clock.
And that helped their effort certainly at the end when you had to make decisions like going for it on fourth down.
But the cash play, for guys who missed it earlier, what's your take on that fourth? First of all, are you cool with the hurry up to get them up there? And how do you feel about it?
Well, look, I think it's the most important play in the game. Timeout. I got to get my guys right. If I know everybody's on the same page and I get you're going hurry up, you don't want them to get their players in. There's an exchange of formation, right? I'm a substitute and you're substituting. But if this is the biggest play of the game, Mike, timeout. I got to get everybody on the same page, and I want to make sure if we don't get it, there are no excuses about this is what we're going to do right now.
Right. I don't even know. I mean, I hear what you're saying with the timeout. Kirby said he'd run it. They've run it before with success. They did it in Tennessee. He'd do it 10 times out of 10. But it just, you know, you got guys out of position, backups on offensive line, missed assignment, and they just blew it up like the Kool-Aid man. And Cash, going to the weak side, too. I know, I mean, yes, you know what? It's worked for you. Nobody likes to play.
Well,
the play doesn't pass the eye test.
Here's the other thing. Is that the right personnel, even if you felt like that was the play? You had a running back that was tearing them a new one. And yet, no disrespect, Cash, is that the guy to get to the corner?
You got one of the fastest guys on the field.
Is that the guy to get around the end?
Right.
So even if it was it the right personnel? Timeout. That's why I do that. Let me get the right people in there to make sure. Now, the other side of that is Bama gets a chance to set their defense, but I don't care. If you are that confident in the play and you're telling me we're going to run it 10 out of 10 times, run the formation, get motion, get guys over to the left side, right side, we're going outside, and let's make it happen. I didn't like it at all, but nevertheless, Kirby, you know, and I said this earlier too, Mike, kick the field goal if you're on the road. I had no problem going for it. You're at home. Go for it. That's not the issue for me. It was more about the execution and the play call than anything else. I want you to hear Kirby talk about his kids feeling this. He mentioned this today in his presser. And, look, they're on to Kentucky, and they better be because you can't get caught up in a big emotional loss like that. We know that. They've done a good job over the years of moving on. They get Kentucky at home this weekend. But here's Kirby talking about he's glad his players felt this, but they're looking ahead.
Coach, I thought it was interesting that you brought up talking about how, like, the players are feeling the hurt. How do you go about making sure they don't get too high on the highs and low on the lows going from the Tennessee game to obviously this weekend?
It's called Kentucky, right? Like, we got to go play a really good football team. So I'm not concerned about – I'm glad that they were affected and hurt. There's a lot of college football teams right now. They got teams that don't – the kids don't care. Like – When people hurt, you usually get a better response, right? You get a better mechanism of, like, buy-in or, like, doubling down on something of, like, knowing who I am and knowing what I've got to work on. So that part excites me to get to work today.
Yeah, and I'll say this, too. I think they'll bounce back. They'll be fine. What's interesting to me are these Alabama fans and how wishy-washy you guys are. When they lost to Florida State, you guys were ready to run Kalen DeBoer out of Tuscaloosa. And Kalen DeBoer, Mike, winning coach, but he hasn't won like Kirby Smart. He doesn't have a Kirby resume, even though he got this opportunity after Nick Saban. I'll say this. What do you guys think now? Because all of a sudden, Alabama fans are like, this is the guy. He's the right guy. 3 weeks ago, you guys were ready to give up on the season after being embarrassed against Florida State. And Mike mentioned it. You wanted Saban back. How can we get him back? Now it's, oh, well, look what he did against Kirby Smart. Which one is it? Are you totally behind Kalen DeBoer, or do you think you're 50-50 on him? Because Alabama fans, make up your mind. That's the other crazy thing to me, Mike. Georgia fans have never wavered on Kirby. There's never been this, well, he may not be the guy. From day one, they believed he was the guy, and he's led them there. You guys get this guy after Nick Saban, and I get it. It's after Saban. But, Mike, where are they at? What do Alabama fans truly believe?
Yeah, and there are some Georgia fans that are, you know, I've seen some stuff on social media, but, again, everybody's a keyboard warrior. It's the Alabama thing. It's the 1-7. That's the thing which has Bama fans just, you know. And look, Kirby can say it doesn't bother him. You tell me Kirby doesn't go home? He's like, in his garage, you know, down the street from Barbara Dooley. I don't know. But this is one where
Barbara this week.
You were not, you were not prepared. You were not as well prepared as Alabama. Alabama out-schemed, out-coached, outperforms you. And those are standards, as Kirby would say. It's not up to their standard. That all happened. So I wonder, can you get Sam Pittman in? I don't know if Pittman wants to take some time off, enjoy that severance package he's going to get from Arkansas. But you've got to get better depth on both sides of the ball. Where is the Jalen Carter? Where is the, you know, the Jalen Walker? Where is that stud? Now, I know that, you know, they did make some plays and they did hold Alabama to the no points in the second half. But for the second game in a row in the SEC, you got mauled by an offense you could no answer for.
Yeah.
You're down 14-0 playing catch up. The kid, Taylor, make the catch. You go 3-and-out. That would have blown the game open for Georgia because you could have had the touchdown. You go ahead. I mean, you didn't execute. Your guys didn't do the job. Alabama's did.
All right, more on this coming up. Want to remind you, Atlanta United season is winding down. Be sure to join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason has you covered all season long, guys, with Atlanta United News. Plus, he's keeping tabs on the international soccer scene. It's right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and available the next day. at the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. All right, more Falcons conversation coming up. Credit to Michael Penix. And by the way, crazy stat. O was just talking to me about this. First time that Georgia has not led a game 72 times. That's incredible that they've not led a game. I had no idea about that. That's incredible. All right, they didn't lead this one either, by the way. That's what we're talking about. Bama wins 24-21.
Never had a chance to lead it all in this game.
Correct. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bounced back pretty darn well, didn't he? Michael Penix had a big game yesterday. Magic Johnson was at the game. If you don't know, he's part owner of the Commanders. One of the guys that was there at the stadium yesterday. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking about the game with you on a Falcons Monday. And there were lots of things to be impressed about. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll let you hear more of the response of what guys had to say, including Michael Penix. Mike was just telling me, you know, today Rod does this Zoom call with the media as this is their bye week. And so there'll be, you know, many guys just your time to get away, man, and do something for a few days and get your mind away from it, because it's going to be a grind when we come back. It's going to be, you know, 17 or 14 straight weeks or whatever, Mike, of football. But you were saying that Rod was talking to Zach, and Zach was saying he should have done this earlier, huh?
Yeah, man. Mark Grimondi had that, and I think he said it to Bijan, that he said he's, quote, pissed that he didn't get down there sooner and start the season on the sideline. So, again, to D. Led's point, maybe y'all should have had some preseason games to work this stuff out. Maybe kick it on the sideline. See how you like it. Then maybe go back in the booth and find you get a better handle on things. Look, I will die on that hill that the Falcons need to have starters and the coaches need to at least approach a half of football as if it's the regular season. At one point, Carl, in the preseason.
By the way, Penix, yesterday we had, what are we, 584 scrimmage yards through four games. We're talking about Bijan Robinson. That's the second most yards from scrimmage through four games in franchise history. You got to go back to William Andrews in the 80s, guys. That's 1983, where he had 590 yards through four games. So you're talking about the kind of season, Mike, where this turns heads. And now, fast forward to next week, Monday night, and Mike mentioned this, we're part of that double Monday night thing where our game will start at 7:15, by the way, for Falcon fans. We've got a week or so to worry about that. But if Bijan shows out and has that kind of game, we keep talking about getting that national recognition. That's what you need. Yesterday was great, but we know what he can do. It's one of those types of games, Mike, where the Bills are in the spotlight. Everybody thinks they're a Super Bowl caliber team.
We shut him down. And
yes,
Bijan. Look, Bijan. The way that NBC put the production elements in with Saquon talking all about Bijan, I thought that was great. That was two Sundays ago, and unfortunately, you know, yeah, I'm on Bijan now. Fantasy owners who know what Bijan is the last couple of years, unfortunately, you know, from a perspective standpoint, we lay that big egg up in Carolina, and it's like, oh, same old Falcons. But you're right. Bijan is a superstar in this league, and that will just further stamp that if he can have another monster night coming up after the bye week.
Where are you at on Pitts?
Pitts is great this year. I got nothing to complain about Pitts. I can only think of, like, maybe one route. I think we asked Arch about this, you know, after the Bucs game, where maybe he didn't give a full 100. But I think Pitts is – look, there's been now, I think, three off the top of my head plays where Pitts was open in the red zone for touchdowns, and Penix just either didn't see him or maybe the defender was blocking him. Either way, Pitts gets the red zone score. Pitts is the ultimate red zone weapon. We talked about it, 8 to 10 touchdowns. You can have, you know, I don't care if it has to be 1,000 yards, Carl. But Pitts, and I'm hoping that Zach Robinson is coming around to this, because the tight end in his former offense with the Rams was just another piece. I don't think they've ever maximized Pitts, and we've had this debate what Pitts is, what he isn't. But I'm telling you, there are more Pitts touchdowns out there for the taking.
That play that he scored on was designed for him. That was a Pitts play. And it was set up, by the way, through the run game. He gives a nice fake. You roll out, he's wide open, boom, he scores. And I thought he kind of spiked that with some authority, didn't he? That was a little letting out some rage.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, I watch because where we sit, the guys, I've got a guy who coaches youth football. We call him Coach. And he's like, pitch is open. So it's like every other time we're watching the game, Drake had some major catches. Drake banged up after this game. Is he okay? Because he was laying out there. Mooney's the one that's got now the hammy. So it was an upper body injury for Mooney, who's never really looked healthy all season. And Drake looked the best he's looked all year last on Sunday.
Yeah, he did. Can you, by the way, give me that Kyle Pitts big O? It was a 7-yard touchdown pass. It made it 24-13 in that moment. And by the way, that was a big answer. For the Falcons. There were a couple of times yesterday where the Commanders made a couple of drives and you were like, okay, they came back and scored and you were like, we need to go score again. We cannot sit around and just expect to hold on to this lead, and they were able to do that. Here's the play we're talking about. Penix, short pass to Kyle Pitts.
Tight end right, London to the right, two receivers left, pistol with Robinson. First and goal off the Commanders 7. Play action, Penix loops it here to the near side, into the end zone. Goes Kyle Pitts in the Atlanta touchdown.
Yeah, and he spiked it hard. But it was good to see, man. And look, I think Dede pointed this out on our pre-show, guys, and we invite you to check that out before around 11:15 or so on various platforms. He got thrown to 5 times. He caught 5 balls. He's not dropping balls, guys.
Right.
He did that, I think it was the first game, where he got thrown to 8 times and caught 7. He's not dropping balls. When they're going to him, he is making the catch. Now, Mike, he's not picking up a lot of yak yards after the catch, but he's making the catch. And look, he's having an impact. That's all we've ever wanted with Kyle Pitts.
I mean, 5 for 70 and a touchdown. Do that all season long, you're a 1,000-yard receiver.
That's right.
You know, and then some. So I just felt that, you know, and we've had these debates. Some years, Pitts just wasn't healthy. It really took him almost a year and a half to come back from that knee. Then we can debate, was he disinterested? I just work here. We had fun with some of those sound bites. Maybe feeling like he's a forgotten man in that offense. That's human nature. But it seems like now there's a role for him. And as you said, if they're designing stuff for him, I just think Zach's got to play to the strengths. We can, as Carl said, enough with the pistol debate. They can certainly do more under center. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But if they put 300 yards up every week with Penix throwing the football, dropping dimes, getting everybody involved, Bijan doing what he does, Algier, that's a winning formula as the defense gets better, as the younger guys learn. Remember, no A.J. Terrell last week. You know, hopefully we'll get him back out of the bye for Buffalo. But I just thought Xavier Watts with a pick. Almost had a pick from Divine Diablo. We got 2 sacks. Probably could have used a few more, right, in some of those drives. But
yeah.
But we also shut them down on third down. Right, one of eight on third downs.
Yeah, I just think like the sacks, the numbers are slowly creeping up. 10 through 4 games, it's the most through 4 games since 2017, which means again, you stay on this pace, we're going to have the most sacks we've had in 8 years. That's impressive.
Right, everything we talked about at camp. Mike Conte put the numbers up after the game yesterday. Total NFL rankings and offense were 7th, defense were 3rd. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive. Passing were 8th, rushing were 5th. I mean, defense and rushing were 14th. Passing defense were 2nd. So, I mean, and we've talked about guys saying a little concerned about our secondary with A.J. Terrell being out. We're tied for 5th in takeaways. Yeah, when's the last time the Falcons were tied for 5th in anything
that? That's another one, Mike. I mean, you know, when we talk about ball is life, you got to get the ball back. And we've done that a couple of different times in these first 4 games. How do you feel? We're going to take some of your phone calls in the 5 o'clock hour. If you haven't had a chance to chime in today, 404-726-0929. And it's simple, guys. Did this make you feel a lot better, obviously, than you did last week? But where are you at? Do you believe this is what our offense is? Because it wasn't what we saw last week. We all know that. Is it this? Is Mike, can we expect 28 to 34 points a week if this offense is doing this, if things look like this? And I think that they're capable. I'm not going to say they'll do it every week, but they're capable. We just needed to see them do it.
Buffalo is its own special case of problems for a defense because there's only one Josh Allen. Josh Allen could go over you, through you, around you. You know, they don't really have the skill position guys to really scare you, but they make the plays. They move the chains, and they got James Cook. So how does Jeff Ulbrich and the defense, right now they're looking at film, how are they coming up with a mousetrap? They'll get the Patriots while we have the bye. But it'll be interesting to see because that will be, if you beat Buffalo, all these guys that we're arguing with about, oh, you beat a Minnesota team that sucks. Please, Minnesota turn around, beat the Bengals, gave the Steelers all they could handle over in Dublin. Not going to apologize for a win. So stop with that. Yeah, it's Mariota. How many of you guys are expecting Mariota and Quinn to stick it up our took us, and we'd be talking about that today.
Most people. Honestly, most people were afraid that that was what was going to happen.
Had that conversation with multiple people walking in the Benz on Sunday.
Yeah, it was part of the discussion. Hey, I want you to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. We're your home for live college football Saturday, 8 a.m. Get things started with college football game time. Brought to you by Window Nation. And visit WindowNation.com and Alumni Hall. You can shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and a lot more. It's where fans shop. Fricky, Goforth, Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, they are getting the stage set for all the big matchups. And then at 11:30, it's a doubleheader. We've got Clemson at North Carolina. The Belichick thing. Followed by Texas at Florida this weekend. It's all Saturday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. A despicable display. A lack of civility. They're animals. I know because I grew up there. Talking about people from Long Island showing their arse at the Ryder Cup and Rory and the rest of the Euros just loving sticking it to the Americans. Plus, what are we going to do tonight on TV? One coach says it starts with violence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where the players play. Just talking to Mick, our caddy buddy from down under. He's going to jump on here in a second, Carl, and we'll get him the digits. But he was talking to Justin Rose's caddy, all the Euros, dealing with all the loud, boisterous American fans. We knew at Bethpage, Carl, the Ryder Cup, it was going to be nuts. But it just took a really ugly turn. You and I were watching it live.
Go back to your shanties.
We were watching Friday up at the Grindhouse in Athens. No place to be blanking. Blank you, Rory. And by the way, if you missed it, Rory on Thursday professed his love for America, said it is the greatest country. So happy to be growing up his kids here in America. And then, I mean, of all the guys, I don't know why for some reason they get after him. But
guys, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and he did say that. Rory did lose his cool on Friday, but the abuse, Carl, I mean, was just bananas. I talked to three of my high school buddies that were there, and they said it wasn't like it was frat boys, because frat boys couldn't afford the friggin' tickets. This is 40- and 50-year-old men acting like absolute classless idiots at the Ryder Cup. And look, I went to the one, it was back in the 2006. We were over in Europe, Johnny and the guys went. Where were we? Oh, it was over at the K-Club in Ireland. And look, it's good-natured ball-busting, but it's fun. And everyone, the commonality is the Europeans get drunk and their fans say some crazy stuff. But this was just classless. This, to me, and again, we saw it. One of the MCs got sacked for basically being involved in one of the chants. It looked horrible on TV.
When you are throwing stuff at Rory's wife, it stops. That was the most embarrassing part about this weekend. I'm proud of the way our guys fought back. I didn't think they had a shot. They made it interesting on Sunday. Tom Watson has come out and apologized for the behavior of American fans in this particular moment, saying the past few days have been sensational, congratulated the Euro team, you know, the Ryder Cup European team, but I'd like to apologize for the rude and mean-spirited, and this was the problem. It was mean-spirited behavior from the American crowd at Bethpage. Mike, they got to do something about this. Now, the event is great, and to your point, the crowd is what makes this different. But it can't get to the point where it did. And I felt like it was not only over the top, it became dangerous. Right. Because you had some guys on the European team even threatening to go after guys in the crowd, having to pull security out and point guys out to get them kicked out. It should never get to that point.
All of a sudden, you had like a wall of gray. They had the New York State troopers out there on the line. I mean, look, you want to bust Jeff? You want to call Shane Lowry Teletubby? That's funny. Hey, Teletubby. Okay, you're insulting, but it's relatively clever. But to sit there and just the constant profanity, I mean, just it's just classless. And it's just you and I were talking off the air. It's what you see in airports these days. It's what you see at sporting events. Unfortunately, you see it at football games, college and pro. Yeah, the commonality generally is everybody's 7 feet tall and bulletproof, and they've had 25 McUltras. But it just at some point, when do people just bring civility back? Right? You know, how many times you and I just, oh boy, you know, you see it every day in traffic. It's just everybody who acts like it's just a self-involved jerk. You know, and everyone's kind of getting into the geopolitical aspect. I'm not even going down that road. It's just people just showing no class. Well, the Europeans got to get the last laugh. Here they are, audio of them on their bus leaving Bethpage. Remember the song of the Cranberries, Zombie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they changed the lyrics to Rory. They get to say all they want, guys, because you know what? The Europeans play better as a team. We do better in individual. You saw it yesterday. But the team concept, all our country club guys, Carl, they just can't seem to put it together. The personalities, the synergy, every coach has got to try to put it together. And by the way, we battled back. There was some crazy rule that was invoked, which has only been used 3 times, where I guess it was the Norwegian golfer goes out because he's got a bad neck, Victor Hovland. So apparently then automatically the match is halved. And apparently the team captains have a name in an envelope of a player that'll basically be he'll be the guy that gets the half the point. He doesn't get to compete. And apparently it happened back at Kiowa Island years ago. So it turns out Victor Hovland is out. Harris English is the guy that doesn't get to play for us. But we do battle back, and it was pretty interesting, but it was too little too late to make it as close as it was.
Yeah, the envelope rule is something that's got to be changed. And it's not because we lost. It's just a crap rule.
Doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people.
No, there are other ways to go about this and other options that these captains are going to have to come to terms on and agree with. But 15-13 was the final, man. And you know, at the end of the day, kudos. They hit more putts. And this sounds simplistic, but really they just putt better than us all 3 days.
Don't you think they putt more aggressively?
Well, yeah.
I mean, our putts are tentative, and they're going for it. Hey, real quick, for guys who haven't heard Mick on the air with us, he does a great podcast, right? You hear it here on the radio station on Odyssey. But he's a professional caddy on the men's and the ladies' tour, and you've heard him before on Dukes and Bell. He's got some information because he was talking to some of the caddies and the guys that were on the tour. Here's Mick right now on the hotline. He's good to go. Joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Mick! Hey,
welcome, Mick, the Thunder from Down Under.
How are you, gentlemen?
How are you? So what were they saying? What'd you hear?
I spoke to I actually spoke to two caddies, but one of them is one of my better mates, Fooch, Mark Fulton, who caddies for Justin Rose, who by the way missed his flight today, so he's still in his hotel room, very hungover. But he was so disappointed. The word he used was disgusting, with some of the things that were coming out. And like you said, Mike, this wasn't frat boys. This is 50- and 60-year-old men who are acting like kids, children. And it's just, it reminded me of like the way the Europeans and the Americans handled this. It reminded me of like a heavyweight fight.
Hmm.
But the Americans came out with like a marching band and, 7,000 people hangers on and all this sort of stuff. And the European team came out like Mike Tyson used to come out with like a black shirt on and one person and they just went out there to win. That was their plan.
Mick, we were just saying, why are the Europeans just so much better in the team settings?
Well, I think Carl knocked it down. It's just, the amount of putts that these guys held and the putting was so much more aggressive. You know, they weren't leaving putts short. They were not leaving putts like dead in the middle of the hole. If it went past, 3 or 4 feet. But these guys were just so switched on. They've been so ready for this. I don't think the American team is 100% ready. It wasn't settled. They were still having discussions whether Keegan Bradley was going to play up until a week before the teams were picked. It just, they never seemed to be any continuity, no stability. They didn't seem ready for the whole thing. And then when they came out, they just wanted to put on a show for the crowd. And it's just, that's not the way you win playing golf.
Yeah, Mick, you talk about Bradley. He did make mistakes, I thought, with the way, the course set up. But I don't know, choosing himself, would that have made a difference in your opinion?
I think he probably could have played himself, but again, it's like it's a no-win situation. No one's really, really been in that position since, you know, Arnold Palmer back in 1963.
Yep, right.
So, you know, it would have been a hard one. He probably should have played himself, obviously, because he was better than Colin Morikawa. Colin Morikawa hasn't played well for 18 months. Yeah, right. He's in the teams. It would have been a much better pickup, to, you know, for him to play, that's for certain. So I think there's a lot of soul-searching to be done for the U.S. team from, you know, from the start. From head office down to you know the last player about how do we get better, and I say we because I'm going through my citizenship right now, so I have to jump on the American bandwagon here just in case my lawyer's listening. So you know, I just think that we need to start from the top and get it right down to the bottom. We need to fix something here because that clearly wasn't it. The golf course wasn't set up right for the Americans, and I know they were talking about this is going to be great for us because we're the better iron players and. That's why the rough was cut down. And but, you know, when you've got foursomes coming out and shooting 7-under on that golf course, just remember, Tiger Woods shot 3-under to win the U.S. Open on that course. He shot 3-under in 4 days. These guys shot 7-under playing foursomes.
That's a great point.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, guys.
They just set up the place. It was set up too easy.
It's our buddy Mick from Down Under, guys. We got our Falcon Report coming up here in less than 10 minutes. We just want to get you some perspective from a guy who's in the know with guys on the tour from that just animalistic show from American fans. And the problem is the Euros, I don't know where we'll be in 2 more years, but hopefully, I mean, it's in their rights to go a little cuckoo on the Americans, see if they can handle the pressure. Some guys said you should have had the guys from Liv. Brooks Koepka and Dustin aren't even ranked. Morikawa was 8 in the world, but as Mick said, he hadn't been doing anything. The other thing, and Peter Costas had a great point, a lot of guys are saying the Europeans got a better handle on this, Mick, and they basically run it the way like an Olympic committee is run, and we basically have a captain, and they throw it together every 2 years. It's very slipshod compared to what the Euros have been able to come up with.
And the Euros, you can understand, these guys are very, very tight. They're close friends, too. They fly together. They're always having dinner together. You know, they are very, very tight. You know, they don't fly in each other on each other. They fly on, you know, on private, but they're not on 8 different flights. You know, they're all not flying their own planes in. They're always together. They have a camaraderie that is just great. You know, after the round of golf, they're going to go and have a few beers with each other. You know, these guys like hanging out together. It makes a big difference. You know, a lot of the American guys, when they finish, you don't see them again. That's it. We've played our round. Off we go. You know, there doesn't seem to be the bond and the tightness that there is with the Europeans.
Great stuff, Mick. We'll talk to you more down the road, brother. But again, thanks for the insight. I want to get you on the air today. Thanks for jumping on.
Appreciate you guys, as always. Go Falcons.
There you go. That's right, man. Mick, and again, congratulations getting his citizenship. Hey, man, we got 2 football games tonight, Carl.
2?
I hate these double dips. You like this? You down with it? The 2 double dips?
Well, look, you know me. More football. I'm fine. Look, I'll have both games on at the end of the day because one starts a little bit earlier, right? The early game?
Yep, we're going to get 2 tonight. Anthony Weaver, the Dolphins taking on the Jets. Jets, Jets, Jets. Anthony Weaver, I mean, this could be something Al Pacino might have said in any given Sunday. Take a listen.
Like, I'm old school. I may sit up here, I'm a nice guy, I smile, I do all those things, but all of our problems that we need to solve can be solved through violence. Yeah, they want to legislate it out of the game, but we play defensive football. And in defensive football, at some point, you draw a line in the sand, and you say, I'm going to set the edge. I'm going to stick my helmet under this guy's chin, and I'm going to set the edge. I'm going to violently take the ball away. And that's what we need to do. With a steely-eyed focus,
wow.
We resolve. And we're going to stop people. And I'm determined. We're all determined for that to happen.
And by the way, this guy's carved out of wood. Looks like a friggin' Navy SEAL. That's
all the
Anthony.
Problems that we need to solve can be solved through violence.
He's scaring people.
That's Anthony Weaver, Dolphins defensive coordinator. That's your early game tonight against the Jets.
Will they play that way?
Well, they certainly came out strong, made a statement, but there's no moral victories like effort against the Buffalo Bills the other night. But yeah, and then the nightcap. And again, it's right on the heels. Like an hour later, you get Cincinnati without Joe Burrow against Denver. A lot of folks looking to see if Bo Nix can step up to the plate. Also today, guys, we found that Bad Bunny will be the halftime performer for the Super Bowl in San Francisco. And everyone over the age of 45 is ticked off and doesn't like it, Carl.
Hey, man. One of the most streamed artists in the world. Look, you know me. I say this every year. You're not going to please everybody one way or the other. If they went the completely opposite and went all country, everybody be like, oh, what the hell? You go Bad Bunny, you go, what the hey? Last year you went Kendrick Lamar with the biggest Super Bowl show ever. People went, what the hey? I don't know if you'll ever satisfy anybody, but as far as the streams, Mike, he has the people to watch,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah, don't kill the messenger, Danny. I'm just telling you what social media is. Yeah. I just would have gone with J Balvin because he brings hotter chicks. But that's me.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, I did too. Did they even, do we know if they asked?
And they'll have crossover acts with this. Won't be just Bad Bunny. You'll have people come in for the cameos. But he's an American citizen, Puerto Rican, if you don't know the history. And the NFL, with its efforts, you've seen it. Baseball does the same thing with the Spanish language, you know, with Los Football and Play Football and all the different messages. So that's the direction they're going at. So people that get upset about these things will be upset about these things. But Bad Bunny will be performing Super Bowl 2026 halftime show. Hey, one last nugget for you before we get out of here. Hats off to Charlie Morton as he wraps up his baseball career. We talked a little bit about it on Friday up in Athens, but what I thought was really cool, I think Dave O'Brien, I want to think Grant McCauley's got it as well, but there's a couple of photos and links, I think the AJC's got it, where all the guys he came up with in the Braves organization were at Truist Park to see him off. Jojo Reyes, Chucky James, Stephen Russell, they were all together in Danville and Rome in the Braves minor league system 20 years ago. And Jojo Reyes has a photo of all of them. So again, Charlie Morton, we don't win the World Series without him. We don't win all those divisions without Charlie Morton. What an amazing career.
No doubt. And a super nice guy, man. Like a guy that you can root for. Mike, you never know how long your career is going to last. I didn't think Charlie would pitch this long. And he got better as he got older. And he's been solid, man. And he came here and helped us win. So, you know, we wish him nothing but the best. That's really classy by the Braves.
All right, before we get out of here, we got Falcons report. We'll talk about the big win. Give me one more hit from Anthony Weaver. I must hear this eloquence about what.
All of our problems that we need to solve can be solved through violence.
Thank you, Anthony Weaver. That's guy talk.
I love it, man. That's awesome.
Sometimes people just have it coming.
All of our problems that we need to solve can be solved through violence.
Yeah. Well, look, he's not lying, but I don't know if they'll bring that kind of violence. The Dolphins' defense has been kind of soft, to be quite honest with you. All right, man. Great stuff, Mike. Coming up, what was the best thing about Sunday's win? We're going to tell you when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.